Morning. I have a confession to make that as this week was coming to a close, I came very, very close to changing this message. The reason that I was thinking about that was because the more time I spent with this text and with this message, the more convicted I became. This may be more for me than you, I don't know. But I've been around long enough to know that's not a good idea, to change plans when you're feeling convicted to move ahead. It's a hard teaching today. How many of you know John 3:16 by heart? How many do a pretty good job of saying that, if you had to? Probably a lot of you have known that since you were, right? Maybe memorize that in vacation Bible school or Christian service camp or whatever. It is the most often quoted verse in the Bible. Although there was a survey taken not too long ago, unfortunately there were a number of church people involved in that survey that said they thought the most often quoted verse in the Bible was God helps those who help themselves. And the only problem with that is that's not in the Bible, is it? Actually, Ben Franklin said that. John 3:16 kind of helped me fill in the blanks here. For God so loved the that he gave his only, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting or eternal life. Good job. We know that verse. I don't know if you remember. I haven't seen him so much lately. You remember that guy that used to travel across the country, sit in the major sports events with a big sign said John 3:16? It's been a while since I've really seen him. He may still be around. I don't know. But I saw him at the Super Bowl and the World Series and a lot of the playoff games, major sporting events. He'd be sitting there where he was sure the camera was going to catch it, not basically to film him, but he was going to see that sign, John 3:16. But I've never seen anyone holding up a sign that says Luke 9:23. Quick, somebody quote it. Real quick, no cheating. You got it up there a little early. That's okay. These words are recorded in three of the four Gospels. They are words of Jesus. And here it is. If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Two great verses here, but there's a difference, isn't there? John 3:16 emphasizes believing. Good. Luke 9:23 focuses on following. Here's a quote that I've used often. I've used it a couple times here. I use it in my classes often at school. It goes like this. You probably remember it. Those who aren't following Jesus aren't his followers. It's that simple. Followers follow. Those who don't follow aren't followers. Right? Not rocket science, is it? Are you a believer? Yeah, I'm a believer. Sign me up. I believe. That's the ticket. Which is good, but you know, James 2:19 says even the demons believe and tremble. But they don't follow Jesus, do they? It's kind of ironic that in many cases, the demonic powers of the universe fear the Lord more than a lot of church people. Are you a believer? Are you a follower? If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. Luke 9:23. Wow. So, how do I become a follower? What's that all about? I want to give you a simple three-point outline this morning. I like simplicity. How do I become a directly from the words of Jesus? Point one. Come. Come. If anyone would come after me. Now, the invitation Jesus is giving here is not to become a fan. Yay, Jesus. Jesus rocks. There was a book that came out not too long ago by Kyle Eidelman entitled Not a Fan. Maybe you're familiar with it. Maybe you've read it. If you've been in a Christian bookstore recently, you've probably seen it on the shelf, still there. Kind of have a connection there. Helen and I know Kyle's dad, went to school with his father, Ken Eidelman, at Lincoln. And as a matter of fact, he became president of Ozark Bible College. And his son, Kyle, is now a teaching pastor at Southeast Christian Church in Louisville, Kentucky. And he wrote this book. He's written a number of books, by the way. And he describes this process of, I'm not a fan of Jesus Christ. I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. See, in this invitation, open invitation in Luke 9:23, Jesus is inviting you to come. He's inviting me to come to him. He's basically saying, I want you to come and be a part of me and allow me to become a part of you. Jesus doesn't particularly care whether you regard him to be a really cool guy or an insightful philosopher or teacher or an outstanding literary character. That may all be good stuff, but Jesus doesn't care about those kind of things. He is inviting you to become the Lord of your life. He's inviting you to make him the Lord of your life. That means be in charge of. We love that, don't we? Who's in charge of you? Nobody's in charge of me. I'm going to do what I want. Nobody's going to tell me what to do. In our common modern-day vernacular, basically, the word Lord means boss. Are you following? It's interesting because it's pretty commonplace, especially among young people. I talk to a lot of young people. Sociologists are saying basically among a certain young age group, there are more kids living together than are actually married, don't intend to get married. You know, kind of like friends with benefits. And the problem with that is their benefits are there without the commitment. And if I may use that as an illustration, there are a lot of people, a lot of you perhaps, who are doing the same thing with Jesus. Without the commitment. I'll follow you, Jesus, as long as things are good. As long as you're not asking me to do anything too radical, too crazy, as long as you don't ask me to do too much. There's something we need to notice here in this phrase of Jesus. In the text in Luke 9:23, he says, if anyone would come after me. It's a phrase that's used commonly in the original language to describe a romantic relationship. It has to do with a passionate pursuit. Passionate pursuit. If you'd like to go a little deeper in this area, because I don't have time to pursue this as I'd like to right now, if you'd like to go deeper into this area of passionate pursuit, there's a book that's been out for a long, long, long time. It's by A.W. Tozier. It's called The Pursuit of God. Matter of fact, if you're really deeply interested in that, let me know. I'll get one for you. I'll get a copy for you. Pursuit of God. The passionate pursuit of someone we love. You ever been in love with someone? I mean, it consumes your thoughts and your energy and your resources. I can remember the first time I fell in love with a girl. One guy says, man, I see her and my palms of my hands get all sweaty and my stomach does flip-flops. And I'm thinking, wow, might be love, might be bad onions at McDonald's, I don't know. Are you in love with Jesus? Can your relationship with the Lord be described as a passionate pursuit, a pursuit that consumes your thoughts and your resources and your energy? That's what Jesus is talking about when he invites you to come after him, following after him. Come. So what does it mean to be a follower? Point two, it's our favorite one, deny. Deny. If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily. Now this is important. When we sacrificially deny ourselves for the sake of Christ, I believe it is the clearest evidence of our committed love. Let me say that again. When we sacrificially deny ourselves for the sake of Christ, I believe it's the clearest evidence of our committed love. But the problem is, that's not our nature, is it? Pretty self-centered. It's kind of like built into the DNA. Not our nature to deny ourselves much of anything. We're good at taking pretty good care of ourselves, making sure I get what I want. I can't think of a lot of areas where I'm really a number one sacrificial person. I haven't mastered that thing. I haven't made myself uncomfortable too often in too many situations over too many things. Jesus says we're to take up our cross daily. I heard a guy in our church once say, man, we all have our crosses to bear. That guy over there is one of my crosses. I have our crosses to bear. Jesus isn't talking about crosses. He's not talking about those things that inconvenience us, those things that make us uncomfortable, take us out of our comfort zone. Matter of fact, the word cross in this text is singular. Do we daily take up our cross? What does that mean? One writer talks about being crucified. He said, I'm crucified with Christ. That would be Paul. Another writer, not a writer of Scripture, but another writer, I love this, says, when you're crucified, you no longer have any plans of your own. Yeah. I think what Jesus is talking about here primarily is the crucifixion of self, the crucifixion of ego, an everyday death. That's why in his account, Luke says, take up your cross daily. See, you have to be purposeful daily to pull that off. You can't just do it one time. Well, I got that taken care of. Check that off my bucket list. Purposeful, daily. I don't care how you position it. Carrying a cross just isn't that comfortable. It takes us out of our comfort zone. I think we have to purposely work in our lives on a daily basis to crucify self. We have to daily labor to put self in the background. That selfie drive in us is strong, isn't it? I came across an article not too long ago. It was from a Christian camp, teenage Christian camp, and they had a suggestion box. Actually, it was a complaint box. And I just chuckled as I read a couple of these complaints. One of them said, please stop building trails that go uphill. I think we do that in our walk with the Lord sometimes. Lord, please stop building trails that go uphill. They're hard. Don't want those. Another one said, please make the trails wider so we can hold hands. Like that one. Because it's all about me. And I'm not coming down on anybody here. Please don't get me wrong. I confess, I struggle daily not to put myself first. And it is a daily struggle. But I want to tell you something I've discovered. When I succeed, I may succeed today, I may fail tomorrow, but when I succeed of not putting myself first, of putting the Lord first, of putting others first, when I do that, I don't have a lot of time to whine or complain. I really don't. Matter of fact, whining and complaining is a pretty good characteristic of somebody that's a very self-centered person. When I am successful at not putting myself, of putting down the selfie drive within me, I don't have a lot of time to put other people down, to criticize somebody else's Christian walk. Well, they're not very spiritual. I don't have a lot of time for that. If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily. What does it mean to be a follower? Come, deny. Number three, just follow. Follow. If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Those who aren't following Jesus aren't his followers. Followers follow. And those who don't follow aren't followers. Simple. See, the key here, guys, is not whatever. The key is wherever. Wherever. In any situation, any place, any circumstance, follow. We live in a culture that justifies greed by calling it ambition, that rationalizes dishonesty by calling it shrewd business, not personal, just business. We stay quiet about our faith when we're out and about and call it being tolerant. Just follow. How many of us carry the cross, but when we get home, we leave it on the front porch? One writer says Christians sin the most when they're in their own home. Instead of submitting, we stand up for our rights. Instead of serving, we sit around. Instead of being patient, we're demanding. Instead of encouraging, like what Bo had to say about encouragement today, instead of encouraging, we're critical. What do you mean, I'm going to put others before myself? What do you mean, love others no matter what? You know what that guy over there did to me? I can remember many trips to Haiti. I've had the privilege of leading a number of groups down to Haiti through the years, and most of them have great trips, but I can remember one trip. It was awful. If anything could go wrong, it did. We accomplished about zero of the goals we had set for ourselves. Kids got sick. We broke down twice. Where we were staying, our water system didn't work. We couldn't take a shower for the last few days we were down there. It was in July, and it was stinking hot. One kid... If I said his name right now, some of you here would know him. Basically, in the middle of the day, just had it. He said, "Let's go home. This is too hard." It was. This is too hard. Our Christian walk is like that sometimes, isn't it? Sometimes we just feel, you know what, this is too much. It's too hard. Life is too hard. Too many uphills. Turns out following Jesus is a lot more than, yay, Jesus, isn't it? We like to live the comfortable life. We like to live safely. We don't like to take risks in our walk with Him. Don't want anything too crazy, nothing too radical. Give my 2% to the church, maybe another percent to other charities. I don't know, help in the nursery. From time to time, that kind of assuages my guilt sometimes about working for the Lord. And I'm all for working in the nursery. I wonder how many of us, when we stand before the Lord, God's going to look at us and going to say, you know what, you lived the safest life you could have possibly lived. I saw... or heard an illustration this week that was great. We just came out of the Olympics, and Helen and I watched swimming most of the time because we have a granddaughter who lives with us as a swimmer. And we watched quite a bit of the gymnastics competition, as much as I think as Helen would have liked to, but we watched quite a bit of it. Man, our ladies' team did us proud, didn't they? Man, One thing that's always kind of interested me is the balance beam. I almost called Roger Thursday and said, Roger, I need a balance beam on the platform Sunday. But I thought that would be a major project probably to find one and get it in here. But anyway, you've seen the balance beam treatment, you know, and that to me, some of the stuff that they do on that beam just kind of blows me away. Picture yourself. Here's our walk with the Lord. We come up to the balance beam, and there's no way we're going to get on top of it and walk because we might fall off and get hurt. And so we're going to straddle that beam, okay? But, you know, the beam's up pretty high, so my feet aren't touching the ground. That's very uncomfortable, and I might still fall off. So I'm going to lean over. I'm going to grab it like this. And this is going to be my Christian walk with the Lord for 5 or 10 or 50 or 60 years. And then when my walk with the Lord is done, ta-da! No risk. No discomfort. Follow me. How many times did Jesus give that invitation? Answer, a lot of times in the New Testament. Just follow me. Are you a follower? Don't misconstrue what I'm going to say here because I really like contemporary Christian music. Some of my favorite songs there, there are some lyrics in there that just really challenge you and kind of reach in and grab your heart. But I'll tell you what, I like to sing a lot of hymns at home. And there are some of the old hymns. You talk about richness in lyric. Some of those tunes just kind of also reach in and grab your heart. There's some deep theology in some of those old hymns. And there's one I've been singing a lot lately. When I'm by myself, maybe out on the back deck, maybe at the kitchen table early in the morning. And some of you will be familiar with it, some of you aren't, depending on your age bracket. I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather have Jesus than riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than houses or lands. I'd rather be led by his nail-pierced hand. And then the crux of that, I'd rather have Jesus than anything. So let's make transition from anything to anyone. Who's invited to follow Jesus? Open invitation, isn't it? If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. Open invitation. So I've been a liar. I've been a cheat. Anyone. I have a shady, dark, sexual past. Anyone. Addict, alcohol, pothead. Anyone. I'm a hypocrite. A little hypocrite in all of us, isn't there? Anyone. See, the invitation of Jesus to follow him begins, if anyone would come after me. You know what? It turns out that anyone means anyone. How about that? Anyone means me. Anyone means you. Pray with me, will you please? Father, thank you for these moments together. Thank you for the precious privilege we have of gathering together in the name of Jesus. And thank you for this open invitation. Thank you for the challenge. Help us, as Bo shared, to be encouragers, Help us to grow, to mature as selfless followers of Jesus, and we know that we have to work on that every day of our lives. May this be a congregation of followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, in His name.